Nehemiah chapter number 2. Let's stand, please, while I read the Word of God. We'll start reading at verse number 9. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant of the Amorite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. So I came to Jerusalem and was there 3 days. And I rose in the night, and I and some few men with me, and neither told I any man what my God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem. I like that phrase, what God had put in my heart to do. What God had put in my heart to do. And neither was there any beast with me save the beast that I rode upon. I went out by night in the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well and dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which were broken down. The gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, for there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up by night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned. The rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither had I yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then said I unto them, you see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, and that we be no more reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Amorite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? And then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore we, his servants, will arise and build. But ye have no portion of right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. That's reading the rest of the chapter. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the privilege we have to open the Word of God tonight. I thank you for the singing of the choir. What a blessing. And the testimonies given and the choir, and then the ones given here praise tonight. I rejoice, Lord, that people still praise you and thank you and still testify of the good grace of God. I praise your name and thank you for everyone. Then I pray tonight, Lord, you'd bless now as we've had a season of prayer and upon our hearts you know the burdens and cares. As Sister Jerry sang, that we have faith in you. You haven't never left us. You've always helped us. What you've done before, you can do again. And Father, we pray in Jesus' name that we'll just believe you and trust you and get about the work that you called us to do, what that you put in our heart that we may do. We thank you and praise you now. Lord, help us preach for a few moments and challenge our hearts and encourage our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I just want to preach on this subject tonight, time to act. Time to act. And I'm not talking about acting as in a play, but time to action, put it that way. And time to get busy and time to do. Let me get to the context of this scripture just a little bit, and then we'll get right on in just a few things I see here that I want to share with you tonight. But in context, Nehemiah had heard about what had happened and what Jerusalem was in dire shape and what the need was there and how serious the situation was. And so look at verse number 4, chapter 1. Verse 4, chapter 1 of Nehemiah. Came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. We hear a whole lot today about our nation and the need of the nation and what we are. And I agree with that. We are in desperate need of help in our nation, of turning to God. We are in desperate need in many ways, many areas. But I wonder how many people have heard that and sat down and wept and fasted and prayed. You know, we've many times talk about it a lot, but we don't seem to get too concerned enough to sit down. And but he got concerned about it and sat down and wept and mourned. And he prayed, fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So he was in concerned about it. He was broken about it. And we're near in revival. We're talking about our country. We're talking about our city. We're talking about our county. We're talking about place where we live. We're talking about church. We're talking about all this in need tonight. And I thank God for all of his blessings, how good he's been to us. But we need to hear from heaven. Need God to do something for us. And we got unsaved, need to get saved and born in the family of God. We need revival in our hearts that we will get stirred more about the condition of people as well as the land of, that we live in. But in verse number 2 of chapter 2, as I'm just skipping down the latter part of that verse, last sentence in it, then was I very sore afraid. The king had asked him what was wrong. He had a sad countenance, and so king wanted to know what it was about, and he was afraid. And if you look in verse number 3, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, the gates thereof consumed with fire? He's telling him about the city. Then the king said unto me, for what doest thou make request? Now here's an interesting little phrase that has slipped in here and the last sentence there in the first part of verse 5. He's talking to the king and he's afraid because he don't know how the king's going to react. Jerusalem back there he's talking about, and they had taken Jerusalem years before, and kings before him, and they destroyed that place. And now he's mentioning the fact that he's concerned about it. He's concerned about Jerusalem. He's concerned about this. He's got a burden about it. And said then in verse number 4, so I prayed to the God of heaven. And then immediately, then I said to the king. Now he's right in the midst of talking to the king and said, so then I prayed to the God of heaven. You know why he could pray so quickly? I don't believe he ever uttered a word out loud in prayer. He kept talking to the king, but in his heart, he was praying, Lord, help me. I'm in a desperate need here right now. He'd been praying. He'd been fasting. He'd been agonizing with God. He'd been sharing with God what he felt in his heart. And so when it come time for desperate praying, he was ready. And he just kept talking to the king, but he prayed at the same time. And the God of heaven would help him, and God did. And God gave him what he requested for and what he's asking for. Gave him favor in the king's eyes. And the king sent him back. And so he went back to Jerusalem. Now Nehemiah comes to build the wall. And we know Ezra went back establishing worship and temple and so forth. But here's building of the wall, the city, getting the city back. And so they're getting ready for that. That's the context of this scripture I just read to you. And God put it in his heart. God gave him something in his heart that he wanted to do for the city back there at Jerusalem in the time of his fathers. And God's put in my heart at a revival. God put in my heart that we need stirring from heaven. God put in my heart I want to reach more people for Jesus. God put in my heart, and I want to see God stir our hearts as a church, as a people of God. And God put in my heart that in days to come that we may see God do great and mighty things. I praise him. Again, I never want to minimize what God has done. I never want to sound like I don't appreciate God's goodness, God's mercy. God's been good to us, and I praise him and I thank him. And as Brother Kenya says, God's good all the time. And he's always good to us. He's always doing things. He's always blessing us. And even tonight as we come in and the choir got to singing, what a blessing in our hearts. I praise God. The choir was singing and blessing my heart. Then Sister Mary testified, and then it really got blessing. Then asked for praise, and people got to testify, and what a blessing. I praise God for it. Let me give you four or five things here. I've been preaching on faith and trying to talk about faith. God stirred my heart about that. I need to believe God's going to do something. I need to have that in my heart. Amen. And I'm not saying I have arrived at that, but God certainly has moved me more toward that. And I thank him, and I praise him for it. I don't know what you're believing God for. I don't know what you're looking for. I don't know what you expect from God. But I do say this tonight. Our God can do it. We said, can God? God can. We talked about the message Brother Tommy Steele preached. He can. But God's looking for somebody to believe that he will. And so tonight, I'm still, don't you ever forget that theme about faith, that God will, if we'll believe him, God will, if we'll meet the other conditions that he gives in his word. And there are conditions we need to meet. And here, this praying, this concern that Nehemiah had is certainly one of those conditions. But let me just give you these things real quickly. Number one, it's time to act. We need to get in the right place. Look in verse number 9. Then I came to the governors beyond the river. He came to the right place. Look in verse number 11. So I came to Jerusalem. He went where God had put in his heart to go. He went. And I'm not talking about tonight. My heart's burden is not that you go off somewhere. I'm glad to see people called to preach and God send them off to be missionaries and all of that. That's God's business, and we all pray for God to send forth more labor. That's not the burden of my heart. Now, we need to be in our place in our church. We need to be in our place and serving God in the community. But that physically is not what I'm really concerned about tonight either. But we need to be in our right place spiritually. If we're not in the right place spiritually, we'll never see God do what he wants to do. And so I pray that God will stir our hearts. And this thing about faith, I pray that you haven't just heard words that went in years and stuck in your mind a little bit, but never got down to your heart. I pray that God has challenged you, that you make a step of faith and trust God to do something in these days. Now, you may say, well, preacher, I'm afraid. That's our problem. We let the flesh get in the way and makes us afraid. It's like that. A granddaughter that Mara was talking about was afraid to walk out. Now, you're afraid, and I'm afraid sometimes to step out on faith and say, I believe this is going to happen, because right down deep in our heart, we're afraid it won't happen. And as her granddaughter, Demi, I believe she said it was, she was afraid she's going to fall off of there, and she couldn't because she's harnessed in. And you can't really believe God and really put it all out there and really trust God to do something that's his will to do, and your heart be right with God, and you've asked God for it. And we have this confidence today that he will hear us. Amen. I know sometimes we, because of the fact that the pendulum has swung the other way so much in our generation about this off the wall stuff about asking God for cars and houses and God doing this and God doing that, that is God's not in and not concerning the will of God, nor concerned about the will of God. I'm not talking about that kind of stuff, but we've let that affect our faith in the Lord, that he's able to touch our body. He's able, amen. And I realize the fact that not always his will to touch bodies, not always his will to heal, but I do know this, it is a will of God to save sinners. Amen. No question about it. God said it was. He said, not my will, any shall perish, all shall come to repent. I want us to get to the right place spiritually. I want us to get to the right place spiritually that we have all our sins confessed. And that I realize we fail God every day, so that means every day we confess. But I'm talking about we don't have anything hidden down in our life. And we don't have anything that's a hindrance to the church. We don't have anything that ought to be gotten right with God. Anything that we need to deal with that we haven't got anything that we haven't went to somebody about it if we need to. We don't have anything that's really holding us back from really having God move in our hearts and life and stepping out on faith and believing God. We need to get in the right place and make sure that we are in that place. And the right place would be in the place of prayer, by the way. And Nehemiah, he prayed. He moaned before God. And that's what we need to do. Find our place and moan before God. Let God help us in our prayer life. And in the Word of God, studying the Word of God. And then in our place as we try to do what God wants us to do about inviting, getting other people and so forth. But now, number two, I want you to look at verse number 11. I came to Jerusalem, was there 3 days. 3 days he didn't do anything. He just went, and 3 days he didn't do. I want you to turn back in the book of Ezra chapter 8. I think this is interesting. In Ezra chapter 8, next book back, and verse 32, and said, when we came to Jerusalem and abode there 3 days, they went and they abode there 3 days. Nehemiah got there and he abode there 3 days. I think there's something significant about that 3 days. I think they were contemplating what they're going to do. They just didn't look at it and say, go in and say, well, bless the Lord, this is the way we're going to do it. They contemplated, and I believe it was why he contemplated, he was praying and asking God how to go about this and what I really need to do. And so as we approach revival time, I pray that, let's see, how many services we got? We got Sunday two times and a Wednesday night, and then the preacher will be here. And so we need those three services and contemplate what God wants us to do and how God wants to work, how God wants to use you, how God wants you to get involved and be a part of. So we need to review this. But it also speaks of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. 3 days, three nights, you know, he was crucified. 3 days later, he got up. So this speaks of that. But we have this, they've got there and they abode. Ezra and Nehemiah, different times, different situation, but they both abode 3 days before they did anything. I say, very interesting. But look at number three, if you would. They saw the need, Nehemiah did. Look at verse number 12. While he was contemplating what to do, he went out and he arose in the night, verse 12. And then he said in verse 12 what God put in his heart to do. He went out to look at God put in his heart to rebuild the walls and the gates and put things back. And he went out by night and he viewed it. And looked it over. He hadn't talked to anybody about it. Hadn't talked to the priest about it. Hadn't talked to the elders about it. Hadn't talked to the king or the rulers of the city about it. Hadn't talked to anybody about it. He just went out there and looked it over and saw what was need. Let me say tonight that you and I need to see the need. We need to see the need. Proverbs 29:18, where there's no vision, the people perish. And so we need to see the need. And I realize the fact that every one of us here tonight that's saved, everybody in this house that really confesses Lord Jesus Christ, if I ask you, do you see a need of revival? I promise you, probably every one of you would say, I do. I see a need of revival. But we really need to see and need to see the need that we have of revival in our hearts and lives. And when we do that, and God puts in our hearts, we want revival. We want God to do something in our lives, and God to do something in our church, and God to do something in our community. God to do something around here and reach out in homes and lives and families that cheer and individuals that cheer that has lost children, lost husbands, wives, lost parents. We need to really get down to business, and we need to see the need. I see it every day. You do too. But we've gotten used to seeing the need, and we need to get unused of it. And that should be moving in the realm of revival when we look at it and see it. A lot of people, there were people there in Jerusalem that looked at the walls. They saw them falling down. They saw the gates. They didn't see what Nehemiah saw. Nehemiah saw a reproach to God. Nehemiah saw a reproach the people of God. He saw what was needed. He saw what could be done. He realized that. So you and I need to see the need. I pray God to help us tonight to ask God, help us see. And they really see like we ought to see, and that we might see the need. Over our church at Laodicea, and it's a lukewarm church, and God, they said they didn't need anything. These rich, increased goods, hadn't needed nothing. And God said, you're wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and said, anoint your eyes with eyesight. And we need our eyes spiritually anointed with the Holy Ghost of God eyesight, that we might really see like God wants us to see where we are. If we really saw the desperate need of our country and the desperate need of our day and the desperate need of our churches and the desperate need of our pulpits and the desperate needs of our pews and the desperate need of people and our families, if we really saw that, we wouldn't be the same folk anymore. And we'd be crying out to God. We'd be witnessing more. We'd be going after it. We'd forget about a lot of things we get involved in. We'd get so interested in the fact, God, we need some help. And believe God for it and trust God for that. Well, let me hurry on here. I get through here tonight. And then there's appeal for workers. Look at verse number 17. And he rose at night when I turned and looked and saw. Then said I, verse 17, then I said unto them, ye see the distress that we're in and how Jerusalem lieth waste, and he challenged them to see it. And the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come. And let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that would be no more reproach. He said, come on, let's do something about it. And so he called them to action. And I tonight want to say I've been preaching on faith. I've been talking about faith. And tonight I'm trying to tell you about Nehemiah going back and what he saw and what the need was. and challenging you to see, challenging you to have a burden, challenging you, but to have faith. I tonight want you to put it into action. And let's do put it into action. And what is it that you want God to do in your life, in this church, or in this community? What are you really praying for? What are you asking God and believing God for in these days? And so I pray, I'm asking for help. I'm asking for helpers. I'm asking for workers. I'm asking for people that really care. Verse number 18. I thought this is interesting. He gave a testimony right in the middle of what he's doing. Then I told them of the hand of the God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words he has spoken unto me. He said, he's asking help. He's asking, get involved. Let's do it. And then he said, I told him how good God had been to me already. I'd prayed back at home, and God answered prayer, gave me favor in the king's eyes. King sent me. He even sent some soldiers with him, sent him out there. And then he said, and they said, let us rise up and build. And so they strengthened their hands for this good work. I say, hallelujah. Hey, they heard what he said. They listened to what he had to say. And they just said, let's get up and let's do it. I want you tonight as Gateway Baptist Church, and individually, I want you to get up and say, let's get to it. And let's really tell people about this revival. Let's really pray. Let's really get a hold of God. Let's really believe God can do it again. As we preached and sang Sunday night, God can do it again. And trust God for real revival in these days. Now, let me give you another thing real quickly. I'll give you two more and I'll be through. Amen. One more. Two more. And when Sanballat and the Horonite and Tobiah and the Amorite and Geshem the Arabian, they laughed us to scorn. In other words, just as sure as you start to move out by faith and you begin to move and say, yes, yes, we are going to move in revival. We are going to get involved. We are going to put ourselves into this thing. We are going to let some other things go. We are going to push some other things aside. We are going to get involved. We are going to do our best for God. The devil will step up somewhere and try to throw a kink in him. He always does. He always will, because that's his business. And he's good at what he does. But I'm glad I got one that's better than he is at what he does. And that's Jesus. Amen. And so you may get discouraged. You may something flare up. You say, I'm going to believe God for this. Whatever you believe in God for and trust in God for. Hey, maybe something happens and you'll say, oh, no, it's not going to happen. Just go on and believe God and trust God. And the enemy's going to say what they're going to say. And they were against him and they fought against it. But God ultimately got the victory. He always does if we'll believe him and trust him. Verse number 20. I wanted to close with that. Then I answered I them and said to them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. What God hath put in our hearts, let's arise and do. How are we going to do that, preacher? Well, it's more than just a time, a few days, we're going to have a preacher come in. It's time to pray, time to invite, time to moan, time to fast, time to do whatever it is God leads us to do. Whatever God puts in our heart, then to believe God for that. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, for challenging our hearts, stirring our lives, and God helping us all to see and realize what we need. But Lord, tonight, open our eyes that we may really see and help us have a real burden and help us tonight that we may walk by faith and believe you and trust you. I pray in Jesus' name.